Shalom, brethren. Once again, we thank God for this wonderful day that He has given us, that we may, though be in different parts of this world, be together again in spirit as we devote our life, our day, to the Lord, fellowshipping around His eternal word. Can we just turn to the book of John chapter 14? We want to read verse 19. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. Now, as we look in the book of John, John portrays the Lord Jesus Christ as the source of life, not just life, but eternal life. He portrays the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, in the sense that He is the manifestation of the Word of God, as he puts it in chapter 1, where he says, "In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then that Word became flesh and dwelt among us." When the Word became flesh, it came into the realms of death, because death abides in the flesh. So the Word became flesh to manifest the very power of God, because it says when the Word became flesh, we beheld Him and saw the glory of God. So we can see through the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, which shows that He can die, but the death is not unto eternal separation, but is the way to life through the resurrection. So in the book of John, in chapter 14, this is a chapter of death, where it opens with "Let not your hearts be troubled, because I go to prepare for you a place." He had shown them that He was going to the cross, He was going to die, and then it brought this uncertainty now and trouble in the hearts of His disciples. But He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God and also believe in Me." Now, when we talk of this "believe in Me," we can go back again to where Abraham is said, "believed and it was imputed to him for righteousness." And then he was called a friend of God. The confirmation of the friendship of Abraham with God, as James wrote, he puts it where Abraham, by that same faith, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, he was offering Isaac unto death to be
sacrificed on the altar, not that that would be the end, but he believed that Isaac would rise up again. So you see, the faith now of Abraham, as he passes through this shadow of death, but that is not the end. It is only transforming him or bringing him into the true life. So faith, when it is applied, it brings about life. So that's why the Lord Jesus Christ says now, let not your hearts be troubled. Even when I die, this is not the end, but this is the ushering in of the true life. And he says now, a little while the world will not see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. The life now is imparted upon the believer through the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ in death. So, faith is here now applied to bring about life, which is the true life that has no elements of death in it, that is not associated with death, that has overcome the power of death and corruption. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, when the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to John on the Isle of Patmos, he says these words in chapter 1, verse 18. Let me just check. In chapter 1, verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is pointing to the true life after death has been conquered. So, death is not a snare. Death is not something that hinders the true life. But it is a way we pass through to attain the true life. That's why we have to die to ourselves. We have to die to this life so that we can attain the true life. As long as we are living on this side of life, in this natural life, we cannot attain that true life. But when we cross over by faith and we have that friendship with God, as with Abraham, that friendship was not attained on this other side of life, but it was when Abraham could see the purpose of God and looked at the stars and believed that that will be what God will do. And then God said, you are righteous. And then he offered his very son, the only one he loved. And then the Bible says that through that, he was called a friend of God. So, with Abraham, even in the body, the Bible tells us that he was dead in the body. And also Sarah's womb was dead. And they were all past this life. But they were looking forward to attain or to get something that by in the natural, it must be attained while life is still there, while the body is still alive, while the womb is still alive. That's how and when they could get this child. But God permitted death to come in so that they cannot live in the realms of this life, which is subjected to death. But their true victory was when they overcame the death of the body by their faith in the eternal word of God. And then on that other side, they attained, or they got favor and acceptance from God. That's why here the Lord Jesus Christ, through even his own death, is telling the disciples who are now without hope, because they were hoping in him, saying, because he's with us, he's teaching us, he's leading us, then we can have life. But when then he mentioned to them that he was going to die, that's when now they were taken aback. How can we now live, since he now is going to be subjected to death? But then the Lord comes in and says, believe in me, because I live, you will live also. When is this life? It is after the death and then resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in the book how Paul puts it in the Hall of Faith, in the book of Hebrews, in verse 10 of chapter 11, he says, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, here is Abraham. When God gave him, even Isaac, the Bible says he did not build a house. He lived in tents together with Isaac and Jacob. Why? Because he waited, he longed for a city whose builder and maker is God. Now, Abraham, when he comes into this friendship with God, by his faith now, he is on the other side of life, not the natural life now. He is looking not for the natural, but he is looking for the eternal. Now, remember, he only had Isaac and Jacob, as the scripture says, but because he had attained by faith the life which is after death, he lived not after the pattern of this life, which can be destroyed by death. His longing now, his faith, and his purpose for living, even on this side of life, was not for this life, but for that which is to come. You know, he even had that element in him. You remember when Sarah died, he went to the sons of Heth and says, I want a place to bury my dead. I want to buy a place which will be my own possession. You see, even in death, to bury Sarah, he did not want to bury her in a temporal place. He did not want to bury her in a place where the sons of Heth could interfere with. Because the sons of Heth offered him, he says, you can choose from any of our sepulchres. No one will forbid you, so that you can bury your dead among our dead also. But Abraham could not be joined with the sons or with the people of the land. He wanted a place for himself so that he would bury his dead, knowing that there would come a resurrection, knowing that there will come a time when he will not be partaker of with the people of the land. So he wanted something that could not pass away from his hands. He wanted a place where he had a title deed to. He wanted a place where he had true ownership. So his faith now sort of transferred him from the temporal to the eternal. So is it with us. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, believe in me. Believe in God and also believe in me. Because I live, you shall live also. So we don't live by the life on this side, but we live by the power of life, which is eternal. And Abraham now looked for that true city. And then in verse 16 of the same book of Hebrews, it says then, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, by faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they lived in a tent. They did not desire to build a house. Why? Because they were desiring a city whose builder and maker is God. And because of that, God is not ashamed to be their God. He's not ashamed to be partaker with them. Because now the life and the desire that was now in them was not for the temporal things, but was for eternal things. And God is eternal. That's why, you know, he could not be anything less than a friend of God. Because we saw that a friend, like Jesus said to his disciples, I no longer call you servants. You are now, I call you now my friends. This was when Jesus was expounding to them the realities and the real life. He says, now, I will not hide anything from you. You are now my friends. I don't treat you as servants. Because he was bringing to them to grasp the real thing. And then here it says, God now is not ashamed to be called their God. Because now they are now in the realms of the life of God. Not on this other side of life. Not on this other creation. Now, in the book of Genesis, God created all things. Even the grasses, the trees, the shrubs, the animals, the fish, the birds. On this side, he created. And these people and these things, they looked like they had life, because he says the seed shall be in the fruit, and the fruit and the seed, when buried, it will bring forth another tree or another of the same species of grass. Yet that life was temporal. And then Paul puts it in the book of Corinthians. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is now a new creation. So it is not a creation after this life, which is subjected to death, but a new creation in life eternal. So our friendship with God, it brings us into that true life, whereby we are ready and we don't feel deprived when we lose this temporal life and everything that goes with this life. Because last sin, you know, is engraved or is part of the flesh, which is on this other side. But then the Lord Jesus Christ, was showing to his disciples, don't be afraid of my coming out of the life on this other side, because I'm going into the real life. And when you also believe in me, you will also enter into this true life, whereby you will now be a true reflection of those who worship God. And then God is not ashamed to be your God, because now you are living the true life after resurrecting from death of this carnal life. So he says, a man, when he's in Christ, he's a new creature. He's not a creature that is just maybe modified or maybe elevated from this other life, but it is through the destruction of this impediment, the destruction of this flesh and this life, which is unto death. And then we go into life unto eternity. And we are the true friends of God. We are the true reflection of who God is. So the Lord says, don't be afraid. Believe in me and believe in God, and also believe in me. I go to prepare a place for you, which even Abraham himself was looking for that place. Brothers, we have been called to something that is greater than life. You know, don't be discouraged to lose things that pertain to this life, because that loss is our gate to the eternal things. Like with Abraham, losing Isaac was winning him unto eternal life. Losing the country of his original abode was his pass or entry into the true country. His abandoning the gods he worshipped with his father Terah beyond the river was the entrance into knowing the true God who would give him the true life. Brothers, God has given us life through the Lord Jesus Christ by his death and resurrection unto eternal life. This is the grace of God. This is the true friendship with God. When we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When our desires are no longer of this earth and the things of the earth that perish, but are motivated, are driven, are inspired, are led by the power of life unto eternity. Really, the Lord has bestowed his grace upon us and given us the true life by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let not your hearts be troubled, because I live, you shall live also. How do we live? In true friendship, in true fellowship, in true abiding or a walking in the true life. May God bless you as we ponder on these words with the Spirit of God revealing more to us as we go through the day. May you be richly blessed. Your brother, James Veremu, from Chitungwiza, Zimbabwe. Shalom.